Hello, and welcome back to the Moms Get It Done podcast. I'm Leslie Osborne, and if you are new to the show, I want to just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a mom of two. I'm a fitness instructor. I run a nonprofit moms club, which I love. I run our household, and I run Moms Get It Done, so my life is insanely busy. One of the things that I love about myself and that I really take pride in myself is that not only do I get things done, but I'm one of these people that like has it together. Like I'm always on time. I know what my schedule looks like. I'm prepared. I, you know, think of things ahead of time. I had a boss once that told me that I was really good at thinking ahead of the problem and thinking through it. And that's why I always got things done quickly and efficiently and things like that. So being one of these people, I really want to talk to you today. I had a conversation the other day with my Aunt Denise, and she's been on the show before, and the conversation was so powerful to me, and it meant so much to me that I literally want to recreate the conversation. Like, if everybody could hear this conversation, I feel like it would be so valuable. So here's what happened. So the other night, I'm sitting on the couch, Netflix binging, as I have been, and it's like 8:30 at night and my phone rings. Now, after 8 p.m., like if my phone's ringing, usually something's wrong. However, I didn't even want to pick up the phone. I was like, oh, I can't talk on the phone right now. I just want to be alone. But for some reason, I did. And I'm just so happy that I did. So I pick up the phone and, you know, my aunt is driving in the car somewhere and she says, you know, how are you doing? And I said, oh, good, you know. And then I totally stopped. And for some reason, it just all came out. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing well. I don't know what's happening, but I'm not myself. I am not motivated. I don't want to do things. I'm missing things, you know, stuff like that. So her and I got into this conversation and I just couldn't believe that it happened because I hadn't really verbalized this at all. And then I did. So Denise, when you picked up the phone to call me, like what was happening with you?
I was in a similar place. I had just left the office. I had been, you know, kind of like you, just kind of pushing my way through it, through all the things that are coming my way. My business is crazy right now, for which I'm very thankful. But at the same time, when you started to share what was going on for you, my first thought was, I'm in a bad place too. And it wasn't the same exact thing. I wouldn't describe it the same way that you described what was going on for you. But I've, you know, been a coach long enough and perhaps lived long enough to know that it was just my version of that. It was the way that manifested for me. I was, you know, I have a lot of challenges in my life and my business, and I'm not keeping up. And you're my person. You know, you're one of the top people in my life who I call when I need help. I didn't call you for help, but when you shared what you shared, it all came pouring out of me as well.
Yeah, as soon as I started to speak about it, I knew that I was onto something. Like I knew that I'm literally, Denise, I'm missing appointments. I'll write something in my calendar for my therapist who's super important to me. I'll just put it in for completely the wrong time. And she'll just call me in the middle of something that I'm doing. Like I showed up at an appointment for my son an hour early the other day. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't an hour late, but you know, it's not like me. I'm missing things. I'm not going to appointments. Like I wake up in the morning and I have to push myself to do almost anything. And I don't know what it is. So then we started to talk about something that your friend had told you about, something called COVID fatigue.
Yes, actually this was long before the term COVID fatigue even came out. And it's one of my clients who was a very savvy HR professional sent an email to me pretty early on, maybe within 6 or 8 weeks of the start of COVID and the quarantines here in Michigan. And the sentiment was something like, we are all in the middle of a trauma and we don't even recognize it. And that if you think about trauma, you think about what happens, you know, something happens, you get mugged or whatever terrible thing. I'm not going to make that list. And then after it's done, if there are lasting effects, you may go to a therapist or debrief with somebody, but you can look back upon it and see how it impacted you, perhaps how different behaviors have manifested and you're doing things differently or you're on your game. But here, and this was again way back in April, the thought struck me very powerfully because we are all in the middle of a trauma and it hasn't ended. And now here we are, it's 2021. It's the beginning of January, months and months later, and we're still in it.
Yeah.
So I don't have some wise, you know, insightful conclusion to draw here other than we're in it. A lot of people don't recognize it. And like you, I've had several conversations. I have conversations all the time with people about how they're doing right now. And that thought has just stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
And as a business coach, as an executive coach, one of the things that I do is help people to find a place where they can stand and get grounded. Mm-hmm. But what I recognized in my call with you was that I was not grounded. I am not grounded.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best that I can. I'm keeping up-ish.
Yeah.
Which is not me at all. You know, like you, I pride myself on being productive and together and on time for meetings and showing up on the right day for meetings.
Yeah.
And even down to my friendships, Leslie, it's the way that I'm operating right now is hurting my friendships too.
Yeah.
I had a really terrible exchange yesterday with a friend who I've neglected and I hurt her and she, kind of lashed out at me a little bit. And even as she was doing it, I could feel the anger rising.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I knew, first of all, I deserved it. I haven't been a good friend. I haven't returned phone calls. I've said I'll come over tomorrow and then not called or anything and acknowledged that I wasn't coming to see her. And I think even since our call, you know, it was just a few days ago, this is striking me even more how I don't know. Again, I don't have the answers.
Yeah.
But I know that talking about it, each time I have a conversation about it, it helps me feel better. It helps me recognize, A, I'm not in it alone.
Yeah.
And B, if I can stop and take some coaching that you gave to me recently, 10 minutes, focus on my breath, then I can regenerate. And it's that minute. It's not like, let's regenerate and have a breakthrough in my life so everything is fine, which is kind of big on that as a business coach.
I am, but that feels huge right now.
Oh,
like having just those words just gave me this little like pang of anxiety. Like, I don't know if I can handle a big breakthrough right now. I think I need like a mini breakthrough just to like remind myself that I can, you know.
I call those crack throughs.
I'm totally going to use that term from now on. I love that.
I've used it for years with my clients when somebody kind of gets a little insight, but there's still work to do to have them appreciate the impact of whatever the situation is and to find the ability, the wherewithal to do something about it. And that's how I feel now. You know, the little crack through is good because it's going to get me through the next day, sometimes the next hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm feeling this so much. I am doing things that are out of character. You know, my eating has been horrible and it's funny because it's so easy to be like, oh, it's the holidays. Oh, it's the holidays. But I know myself. And I'm looking within and thinking, you know what? You eating that third slice of cake last night, which I totally did out of the container. You know, I know that that is not just holiday eating. I know that there is something that's happening where, you know, I don't want to say I'm punishing myself, but I'm definitely doing things that are out of character. Like that are not who I am. And then what happens is you start to do these things, or I start to do these things and you start to make yourself wrong for it. And then you really just beat yourself up. Like, and I think a big part of this for me has really been beating the crap out of myself. Being like, why can't I get it together? You know, why am I doing these things? I must be, you know, losing it. I must be losing my mind. You know, I can't handle things, which is total BS. I can totally handle things. But this is a big thing and it's happening and no one's saying it. You know, they're like, oh, we're tired. Oh, we've been home. Oh, this, oh, that. And like, there was a time in, I don't know, November or something that I almost was like in a little bit of a COVID rhythm. You know, I was used to being home. It was okay not to be going a bunch of places. I was really trying to see the value in having more time with my family. You know, we're playing thousands of board games, which is great. You know, things like that. I almost got into a rhythm, and somewhere along the way, and I don't know if it's just like the added holiday stress or if something, you know, the end of the year is coming, or I don't even know what it was, but I literally, it just stopped. Like it just, all of a sudden, everything felt huge. And I almost just kind of got paralyzed. I mean, yes, I'm working on my business and yes, I am moving forward, but not at the rate or the efficiency or even the creative, you know, sometimes there's these creative bursts in your life. Mm-hmm. And I know you know this because you create programs, right? So like there's these creative bursts where you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We're going to do that. I mean, it's literally been, I don't even know when the last time it was. Actually, after our conversation, it was. After this conversation, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is something that is so big that's happening for me right now. So now that we've, you know, there is this other part of it too. I think that what I was just saying was, you know, you and I talked about this. Is it anxiety? Is it depression? Is it something else? Is it, am I losing my mind? Like, is this happening? I mean, like, really, really? So I know, what do you think the biggest part of this was for you?
Well, I actually want to go back to what you just said. Yes. Am I losing my mind? Because, you know, there's a lot of talk about COVID fatigue, and I don't know when that conversation started. I think it's been months and months. And while I think that it is an apt description in certain ways, I think it's not deep enough. Because Right. Now, so all along, you know, in the beginning of COVID, I was lonely. I live alone with my, thank God I have my dog, Ruby. but I realized in about the beginning of June, late May, that I had not touched another human being for 3 months. That was one level of it. Since I have hugged people, including you and your children and your family, thank God. but that was the first like big recognition that I had. In addition to, I was eating like a crazy lady at the very beginning of COVID. I've since actually gotten better about that piece. Thank goodness. Yeah. Not perfect, but progress.
Yeah.
Then as time went on, we kind of got into a rhythm. I think over the summer, we could go outside. We could, you know, meet people outside. I could take Ruby out running in the neighborhood and, you know, greet the other dogs and owners. But now I sometimes, maybe most of the time, feel that I'm losing my mind. And I'll give you a couple of little examples.
Okay.
The other day I was going to make a bank deposit for one of my clients for whom I work full-time, actually, virtually full-time. So I had all the checks in a row. I had, you know, everything entered into QuickBooks and the bank deposit slip made out. And I stopped at one of our offices to pick something up from the person there. She actually had the stamp to stamp on the back of all the checks. I bundled them beautifully. I walked out the door, put Ruby in the back seat, got in the car, drove 2 blocks to the bank, and I could not find the $84,000 deposit.
Oh my God.
I was there to make. And I called, you know, my colleague at the, where I had just stopped. She was looking around the office. She went outside, looked on the sidewalk. She went to the restaurant next door to see if anyone picked it up. I searched my car. I drove back to the office. We searched and searched, couldn't find it anywhere. And she says, you know, is it in your purse? Well, my handbag isn't big enough to hold this deposit, but I emptied it anyway. Like I was so desperate. I was trying anything. I checked to see if I like tucked it in the side of my pants, or I even looked at my coat to see if there was an inside pocket. I know there's not an inside pocket in my coat. So then she kept Ruby in the store. I went out and I emptied my car. And the whole time I'm sobbing, I was bashing, pummeling myself with words that I haven't used in a very long time. You know, I think that we need to speak kindly to ourselves, but words like loser and F up and all different kinds of things were not only in my mind, flying out of my mouth as I'm searching through my car. And as I turned to get out of the car in complete exasperation, giving up, there was the deposit tucked neatly into the above the visor, right where I put it, so that I would know where it was when I got there. And it didn't make it better. It made it worse.
Yeah.
And this, you know, I don't know what else to say. It just...
I mean, honestly, for the listeners, this is not who Denise is. Denise has it together. She's very efficient. I mean, she's been my mentor in this way for, you know, 40 years. And I just, for her to tell me this story, I was shocked. Like I couldn't believe it. So let's talk, I want to talk about what you just said about what you were saying to yourself?
Well, you know, I'm a business coach, and I have a cute little saying that I share with my clients all the time.
Yeah.
That goes like this. If someone else spoke to you the way you speak to yourself, would you be their friend?
I say this a lot. Like, if I spoke to my best friend this way, would they talk to me? No, they wouldn't. And right. It's so hard to break this self-talk cycle. It just is. Like, it's so easy to make yourself wrong and bash yourself. And because we know our own potential, like we do. And not just that, we've lived it. It's not as if we're like, oh, someday we're going to be efficient and on top of it. Like, right. Really, this is who we are, you know, and not everybody is with it and on top of it. And even, you know, since I've started to talk to people about this, they're just like, oh my gosh. And it literally just like floods out of their mouth, like the thing, and it opens the door. Right. So I've had 4 or 5 of these conversations in the last 5 days. And like you said before, every time I talk about it, I feel a little bit better. Is it making me more efficient? Not exactly, but it's really helping my self-talk. And it really, really is. And I think that, you know, you and I talked about this, and the biggest thing is admitting that there's an issue.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that that day in particular was a big eye opener for me. Mm-hmm. It started with a huge disappointment in the morning. I had just hired a new bookkeeper for this client company, and I've been struggling. We've been struggling with our finance department for quite some time. I was so thrilled. I had set up the office and got everything ready with little flowers on her desk and a stapler and tape thing and pens. And then she accepted another position. So that was that morning. And then the deposit thing happened. So in the morning, I spoke with one of my colleagues and we had this great conversation and I felt better. So then I, you know, put my big girl pants on, as they say, went to the office, got the deposit ready, went to the bank. Then I had that meltdown. Then something else came in. A friend who desperately needs my help sent an email to me, and they are on the verge of crashing and burning in this huge problem that they have in their life. And it struck me in that, and I've been trying to help them, but I don't know the area, you know, that they needed help in. It's in real estate. And I just don't know. Yeah. So all of a sudden I thought, oh, I know somebody who's an expert in this, who buys and sells real estate all the time. Yeah. So I made that call. It was actually my sister, your other aunt. And she and her husband said, oh, we've got this, you know, take that off your plate. So then Naomi and I had a conversation and I felt better after that. So this is what, you know, noon or whatever time, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I don't know what time it was. That's how crazy that day was. Well, that felt better. Then something else happened. And then I called you and I felt better. And that the coaching that you gave to me made me recognize a few things that in normal times of whatever that may mean, I wouldn't have done. So that morning I got up, I got the bad news about the bookkeeper. I got all furmished. I'm trying to get my act together and get my day going. I didn't eat breakfast. Then with all the craziness of losing $84,000 temporarily, I didn't eat lunch.
Yeah.
So when you and I spoke and you gave me the coaching to go home, sit still, focus on my breath for 10 minutes, I said to you in that call, as you know, first I'm going to eat some food. Now it's 3 or 4 in the afternoon and I hadn't eaten a morsel. And, you know, I don't know if I have sugar issues, but I certainly felt depleted.
Yeah.
So I went home, I ate. I did the 10 minutes and I actually felt great. The rest of the evening was wonderful. I spent the evening with a friend. I considered canceling. And as your sage counsel, don't cancel. You need to do this. It was so on target. I had the most lovely evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's temporary, right? Until the next thing.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing. You know, I'm not saying that losing $84,000 temporarily is a small issue.
No.
But it's worse than that. Every little thing brings me to the verge of tears. And it's like I have to regenerate, not every quite moment time. By moment, but multiple times in the same day.
Yeah. So now that we know what the issue is, and that it's just that there's all of this extra weight in our lives, and there is, like, we have to have all these conversations that we don't normally have. Are we allowed to go here? Who should we see? Somebody wants to see us. Are we doing that? I mean, there's literally so much thought that's going into the state of the world, and not just the state of the world, the state of where your body is. Like, are you going to this store? Are you going to this gathering that somebody's having with 10 people outside or not? Like, maybe they'll wear a mask. Maybe they won't. Am I supposed to be doing this? Like, it literally, like, on and on and on. And I feel like it kind of like weighs my brain down. And it gets to be too much. And I think for me, it got to be too much. And then I started doing things wrong. And then I started beating myself up. And then it was just like a vicious cycle.
Exactly.
So I think that some of the biggest thing for me, I mean, I felt so much better after our conversation. I felt like I had not even a crackthrough, like a breakthrough in just understanding what it was. Right. Because again, I felt nuts. And I was like, this isn't who I am. Like, who am I being? Like, I mean, it got big. Like, there was these big negative self-talk that wasn't even just like, eh, you made a mistake. No, it was like big.
Oh, no.
No. Like, this is like going way beyond. So I think that the first thing is having conversations about it,
yes.
Right? Like talking yes. to people about it, especially people that are super close to you, like your spouse, even like my kids. I'm just like, mommy's a little overwhelmed. Like, I need a minute. Like, I just need to breathe. Can you just give me a minute? I need to like go over my calendar and actually understand what I'm doing today. Like, you know, stuff like that. But like, even like your best friends, your parents, whoever you surround yourself with, you know, I've had the same conversation with several of my friends, and mm-hmm. both of us felt better at the end.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the first thing.
But go back to just what you said about your kids. What a great modeling you make for them when you say, I just need a minute. Let me go through my calendar or whatever it is. I just need to pause and get ready for whatever it is that they need from you.
Yeah.
I think that that's such a great example of for them. And actually, yeah. I have to tell you, I've spent time with your children, and I've heard Olive say to me more than once, I need a minute. Apparently, this wasn't the first time that you said that to her.
No, she's good like that. Logan also will say stuff like, mommy, I need some time alone. I'm like, okay. Yeah. That may have flew out of my mouth several times every day. So the identification step of it, right? And everybody's is going to be slightly different, but like, this is like a big deal and talking to people about it. So what else are you doing to kind of break yourself out of it?
Well, I think part of the identification for me, I'm sorry to keep us on that step for
That's
a minute,
okay.
Is when I, just as I was saying to you just now about I hadn't touched another human being. I thrive on relationships. I am a people person. I am an extrovert. You know, I work with people all day, every day. And it just hit me that that's something that feeds my soul.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to do it. Even though I am seeing certain people now, yeah. I often have the thought when I'm with this person and they're just with these two other people and those two other people are just with this one other family. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I'm looking at my friends with suspicion. I'm yeah. looking at people and I feel like a terrible human being for doing that.
We're all doing it.
I'm well, of course we are, but it wasn't until just now that I recognized that the things that feed my soul, going out, just people watching, going out to dinner, everything. So yeah. I think that the deprivation is so much more than we realize.
Yeah, actually my husband was saying to me, you know, after this conversation where I had like a little mini breakdown afterward and then like a breakthrough, he mm-hmm. was like, Leslie, also remember that the things that are you, like you love teaching group fitness. You can't mm-hmm. do that. You love going out to dinner with your friends. You can't do that. Like
right.
you love taking your kids to like trampoline parks and going bananas right. and like, you know, whatever. You love like doing things with your family that require going out and doing things. And he's like, we haven't, right. that's not, those things that feed you aren't there.
Right.
So
Another big thing for me is not seeing my grandchildren and Dana and Andrew. They recently made their B'nai Mitzvah. I'm sorry, I can't, this is how it, so you know me. Tears
yeah.
are always close to the surface for me. I see a beautiful sunset and it moves me to tears. I hear a beautiful exchange between two people and it moves me to tears. But I am on the verge of tears all the time now. But my grandson and granddaughter made their B'nai Mitzvah together recently. And I think that not being there has hurt me so much more than I thought.
Yeah.
I couldn't be there with them. Like, you know, I would have come in a week early and helped get everything ready and seen Marissa's dress and how handsome Ethan looked. And then we got off of the Zoom and it was beautiful. They were spectacular. Yeah. You were there.
Yeah,
they were amazing. So inspiring. And they, I haven't seen them since February in person. They like have grown up and
I know.
They were amazing. But when we hung up from the Zoom call for their B'nai Mitzvah, I had the deepest sense of sadness and I was just lonely for my kids.
Yeah. And I don't know, especially, I mean, just to note, your grandkids are in New Jersey, so it's not
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm in Michigan, obviously.
Yeah. We're in Michigan. So it's not as if, you know, we just chose not to be over there. I mean, there was a lot involved in you going at all, you know,
right.
Like travel right. and all of those things. So, you know, a lot of us, you know, we're, a, you know, a global culture.
Yes.
You know, we don't just stay within our bubble anymore. You right. know, it's 2021 now. Like we go, you know, everywhere and do everything and not to be able to do that. I mean, we travel a lot and I didn't realize how much we traveled until we couldn't travel.
Until we couldn't, right.
And it's really crazy to me. And we can't see our family in Maryland and we weren't there for Christmas. And you know, like there's this weird part of like, okay, well, I don't have to travel. Maybe I'll do other things here where you're thinking that, but it really hurts, you know, like the Zooms with them, you know, and FaceTiming with them over Christmas just sucked. I was just like, I'm so happy to see your faces. And I wish I was there opening your presents and playing with the Legos, you know, and just we're not. And it, I think that it's a big deal. And we've, you know, all of this stuff online tries to say, you know, enjoy what you have and maybe slowing down is something good for you. And it is, I can see the value in it.
Yes.
And I can see how it's hurting us all the time.
Right. The thing that I've been saying around this time of New Year, of the new year is we made the best of a very difficult 2020 and there are many blessings. And I actually have some new things that I'm doing in my business and will continue to do using Zoom as an effective tool for working with clients remotely for portions of my work that I do. Some of it just, there's nothing like being in person when I'm doing a group retreat. I've done some Zoom retreats.
Yeah.
Over, you know, in December I did three two-day Zoom retreats. They were fantastic. I was shocked that it worked. But at the same time, we missed the little conversations during the break and, you know, a group of people will, you know, have dinner together. And so there was a lot missing, but I don't want to discount the fact that Zoom and it's relatives, FaceTime and whatever other platforms we're using. It's nice. It is so much better than not being there at all.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that 2020, you know, is really getting a bad rap. it's just the collective, right? It's piling on and we learn to cope with that. Then something else is piled on top. And then we think we're coping with that. And then another thing. In the holidays, you know, it was tough. I did a Zoom Thanksgiving dinner with families in multiple cities and states.
Yeah.
It was fun. We, you know, that group would not have been together had it not been for Zoom.
Yeah.
But, you know, my kitchen was just as messy from cooking all the food, except I had one person sitting at the table with me. Thank God my brother Bill was willing to come over and have dinner with me.
Yeah.
but I think it's the collection month after month after month. And even with the vaccine out, and knowing that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, it's still, we have months left of this.
I do think that, you know, as I start to move forward and really dig into this and dig into how I could be better at it, I don't know if it's that I'm going to get over it because that's not, I don't think that's realistic. I think that maybe it's that, you know, I've been thinking about this, especially when we're getting ready for this call, like, okay, well, what are the outcomes? Like, what do we do? Right. Cause I want to fix it. I want to get it done. Like, that's my thing. Right. So, and I don't know if there's like a clear answer. So I think that like, for me, what I'm going to do is the first thing I'm going to do is every time something ridiculous like this happens, I put up a little sticky note in my kitchen. And the first thing it says is take a breath and give yourself a break. Because, you know, is it the end of the world that I missed a therapist appointment or whatever? No, but like, give myself a break, You know, right. Like this is a lot. Like there's a lot happening in the world, in your lives, in your homes, in your relationships, you know, all of those things. You know, I think the first thing is to remind yourself that you're human. And I am bad at that, but I'm getting better at it as we're moving forward, right? Like I almost have to find a way to forgive myself for not being who I think I'm supposed to be, right? Like, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but we all have this idea of who we should be being. And if you're not that, then obviously you're bad, you know, right. Like in your mind. So right. My first thing is that. What else are you doing to try to get yourself through?
Well, I think that what I'm really appreciating now is that it's the mini intervention, the mini exercise, the stopping and noticing my breath, just focusing on my breath for 10 minutes. I've done that several times since you and I spoke about it several days ago. I think it's more for me looking at what are the little things I can do to help myself feel better now. And yeah. Maybe that lasts for a day, maybe that lasts for an hour, maybe, you know, I have the good fortune of it to last for several days. One of the things that I'm doing is taking Ruby, my dog, out onto the golf course and running around or taking her for a walk through the neighborhood much more often than I would. Usually she kind of gets her running naturally by I take her to work with me and
yeah,
but it's the mini things. And I know that it's different for everyone, but the breathing thing has helped for me spending time with Ruby and going out and running around with her and playing in the snow, you know, and I notice I'm laughing out loud. I'll throw a snowball and she'll chase it crazily and then throw it in the air with her mouth and just, you know, seemingly little things. And I know they're different for everyone, but that's one of the things I'm walking away with right now. Do the mini things. We don't have to fix the world. Let's just slow my heart rate down for a couple of hours.
For real.
In a good way.
One of the things that I'm doing too is I'm making sure to stay connected even when I don't want to. Like it's very easy just to hide on your couch. And I love doing that. It's very comfy. Like I love being in there and snuggled up, especially in the winter. And, you know, even if it's just a text saying, how are you or anything like that, you know, I just want to make sure that people know that I still value them, even if I can't see them. So, and it makes me feel better because it doesn't feel like I'm retreating into myself so much. You know, and I do that. I will just pull back the reins and retreat in, and that's not helping me. So I'm definitely reaching out a little bit more. And then sharing my experience, like honestly, just talking through it. I mean, does it make me show up for the therapist appointment? Not really, but my self-talk is better. And if my self-talk is better, if I value who I am right now, even if it's not exactly who I think I should be, it's huge for me.
Yes.
Like I think that that part is the biggest part for me. So.
And I'm going to take that coaching from you because hence my breakdown yesterday with my dear, dear friend, it was because I'm not doing that. I'm doing the minimum communication with people. So I'm going to take that one away from this conversation and do better at that. And also I think asking my friends to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
And not that I want to put the burden of our relationship on them, but if I share what I'm committed to, I love you, you're important to me, I'm struggling in this way, find out how they're struggling. I'm always at my best when I'm helping someone else anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that one away from this. Another one is that it's little things, right? I've done a lot of work on my house during COVID. My house looks so much better than it did pre-COVID, redoing, you know, finishing my kitchen cabinets and like everybody, sprucing up my home study. I've noticed how energizing that was. So I've picked up a couple other little projects around the house that, you know, clean out the junk drawer. I've been going through my closet, not quite the KonMari method. That feels a little overwhelming right now.
Yes. it always has to me. I've been resisting for years.
Oh, Leslie, it is a fantastic thing.
We will talk about that another time.
But it's so little things like that too. And I have been working on my closet and giving some things away and bagging up some clothes that I know that someone else will appreciate in a way that I don't. And finding good interpretations for things.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the grace comes in, having grace with myself, with oneself. Just looking for, I misplaced a couple of checks. recognizing how crazy busy I am, how my soul isn't being fed the way that it usually is. And I didn't lose them completely.
Yeah.
But just kind of saying, all right, slow down, take some breaths, focus. And when I do have those mishaps, fixing them however I can, and just continue to move forward with grace. I love the word grace. It happened to be my mother's middle name. Mm-hmm. And I was, I often think of just how graceful she was in her relationships with people, and forgiving, and giving, just so giving. And I try to use that as like a model or a focal point for myself.
For sure. For sure. And I think that even focusing that on ourselves, you know, how much grace are you giving yourself? How kind right. are you being? And right. I think that that's the big thing. It's funny because this show is totally different than things that I normally do. I usually have like points to hit and, right. you know, an outline and, you know, this outline is literally like three sentences. But
yes,
I felt that this was so important because every time I think about it, bring it up, whatever, it is a big deal for people. So I'm so happy that we were able to recreate this and just get it out there and just get people thinking about the madness and how we can be better to ourselves and better to others, you know? So thank you so much, Denise.
Thank you, Leslie. And I think that is the key. Every time I have a conversation with someone, I feel better and they say that they feel better. So yeah. if that's something that makes us feel better, I guess that I should do that more often.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Denise.
Thank you, Leslie. I love you.
I love you too.
I'm so glad you were able to join us today. Some things to remember from the episode. We are in the middle of a trauma. Recognizing it is something a lot of us just aren't doing. Identifying that there is a problem is the first and most important step. Remind yourself that you're human and give yourself a break. If you need to, write it down and put it somewhere you can see it. Another thing is, what are the things you can do to feel better right now? Is it a walk? Is it calling a friend? Is it dancing? Whatever it is, do that. Share your experience with people. It will help with your self-talk, I promise. Pick up a project if you can, even if it's just a simple one, but don't stress yourself out. And the last thing is, give yourself grace. We all need it, and we all deserve it. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so thankful I was able to speak so candidly about this, and I hope you got as much out of it as I did. Thank you, Denise, for being so genuine, honest, and open. I value our relationship and these amazing talks. Also, be sure to join the free Facebook group, Moms Get It Done. We can do it all together.